check your Cole check your inbox. Cole, he took a bit of a hiatus, but he said he's catching up. He was he switched Urim to focus on his like reading skills in Israel.
Got it.
So I think he was doing like a reading skills boot camp.
That was probably with deleting WhatsApp.
I think he's back on WhatsApp actually.
Right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
At least I have a guy in WhatsApp somewhere, but now I'm inclined to delete mine. So,
we should make an announcement beforehand, though.
Yeah.
You also can block one contact if that's really bad.
Oh, you can? I know that.
Yeah.
It's like Hashgirl on Neum. All right, so our topic is Grom Ben Azigan. Yeah, sounds good. So I want to do Chabura. So today will be our second to last, and then later in the week we'll do our last Chabura on Garmi. That'll be our last Chabura. So I want to just discuss three things about Grom Ben Azigan Pater. So first I want to go through the main cases of Grama, just so we get a flavor for what constitutes Grama. Then I want to look at the reason why, or the distinction between Grama and Garmi, as suggested by the Rishonim, what the main distinctions are, if there is a distinction. And the third thing I want to look at is, when we say that Grama Ben Azigan is Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim, what kind of a chiyuv is that? Like, how strong is the chiyuv? How even on the assumption that Grama Ben Azigan is pater, what elements of liability are there? And that's be both in terms of what's the chiyuv b'dei shemayim, and also are there cases where Grama becomes chayiv again? So those are three things I want to hit quickly today. So if you look here on page one, so we have the Gemara on Bava Kama Samech Amid Aleph. You know, for a principle that's really supposed to be writ large across Shas, like a really just fundamental doctrinal principle, the Gemara rarely mentions that Grama Ben Azigan is pater. You only get it explicitly on Daf Samech. Halacha Grama Ba'almu is the case of Zorev Ruach Misayaso, or a case where you're lighting a flame and then a Ruach comes and actually causes it to ignite. So Gemara says that Grama Ben Azigan is pater. And then you have a Gemara in Ba'basra and Chabez Amid Beis. This is the second parak, Marchikin, of Lo Yachbor, all the Harchalkos and Zikin. So the Gemara there is talking about an Isser about putting your ladder next to your neighbor's bird fountain. So the concern is that if you put your ladder there, an animal could climb up the ladder and attack the birds. That's the Marchikin, that's Asula Min Ashovach. So the Gemara says, oh, if you violate that Harchalka and you put the ladder there and an animal climbs up, so you're going to be putter, because it's Grama, but yet it's Aser to do so, and the Gemara says, Osamar is Grama Ben Azigan Aser. So you put these two Gemaras together, Samech and Bava Kama, you get Grama Ben Azigan Pater. But the Gemara in Bava Basra and Chabez Amid Beis says, Pater is not Pater Mutter. Pater means that Grama Ben Azigan is Aser. All right? Those are just the Gemara's clearest statements on Grama. As we'll see later, some Rishonim clearly dispute the fact that Grama Ben Azigan is Pater. We'll see the Rambam's position seems to be that Grama is Chayiv. So we'll get to that. Okay, so let's look at some of the quintessential cases very quickly. So first class, the case of Grama Ben Azigan Pater is from the Gemara on Chav Vav Mebeis and Bava Kama. This is the case where person A is Zorei Kalim Merosh Hagag, and on the ground there are mattresses and pillows. And then person B comes along and takes away the mattresses and pillows after the object is in flight. So the Gemara says that you're Pater. So in the Gemara seems to be referring to the thrower. But Rashi here says that they're both pater. First guy, the thrower, is pater. Sharei mizrikaso ein sofo lishaver. Because when he threw it, the kalim were going to have a soft landing. And then Rashi adds, v'zeshe natal hakarim, v'afilu hazorek atzmo natlan pater, degram ben azikin hava. So the guy who takes away the karim is just a gorim, and therefore he's pater. So does that sound good to you, Isaac?
What's the mark like for the quote?
Zara klimi rosh agag v'hayu tachta v'kar muchsasos v'acher v'silkan okidim v'silkan pater.
Yeah, I guess
it's
Grama in the sense that he didn't set
it
into motion.
Yeah, he didn't do a
mice
and ezek, I
guess. He did
eating Grama? I want to say it's last. Rashi says Grama Benazigan Abe.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's like Mark, you could send it though.
It's weaker than Grama.
Like a pillow remover, it's not even Grama.
Ah, it's an interesting question. So we'll talk about that. Remind me to talk about that when we finish the examples. Is it really sensible to talk about something that's less than Grama? All right, depends what we mean by Grama Ben Azigan Pater. So we'll talk about that. I mean, intuitions can differ here. On the one hand, like Yoni's saying,
well, it wouldn't be Osir. That would be like one Nafkamina.
Yeah, that'd be enough. That would be an interesting Nafkamina. Also, Chibi De Shemayim. So Yoni's saying, look, there's an argument to be made here that if you just remove the pillow that would break the fall, you're not even a mazik. Not even in this weak sense of grandma. And that's because you didn't do something bad. Is that the point? You didn't destroy the cleave.
Yeah, when you remove pillows. Why should you be blamed for breaking
the fall? But I can hear the argument going the other way and saying, like, look, you saw the cleave falling and your action caused the cleave to break, right? I mean, but for your removing the pillows, the kli would be intact. And so you're not a gorim, you're a mazik. Right? Who cares that you didn't throw the kli itself? Your action is what's responsible for the kli breaking.
I mean, you have to argue then that what I'm arguing is you have to argue that the mazik and the zikin has to be more connected to the actual broken object.
Yes, I mean, that's an abstract question. What does grum depend on, right? Isaac, what's your intuition here?
I would have leaned more toward your
intuition,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but I also see that client Grum is what happens to me.
Yeah, yeah, because he didn't do the Mice and Ezek.
Right.
Okay, so case number two is also an interesting case. It comes from the Gemara in Bava Kamma Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So this is a case of a trespasser who puts food in the Chatzer HaNizak. So let's say Isaac has a dog in his house. I come into his house and I either put food in front. Let's just take the easier case. I put poison in front of Isaac's animal. Gemara calls Hanose and Sam Hamaves Lefne Behemas Chavero. Isaac's animal then comes and eats the poison. So the Gemara says that I'm Pater Medine Adam Bechai Medine Shemaim. And as the Rishonim point out, this is also another Grum Ben Azik and Pater case. So what's your intuition here? Why should this be mere grumma? So I came into the Rishus, I put food that's harmful to the animal there. So I'm Pater. So the Gemara does say something. The Gemara says, you know, Havala Shalo Tochal. You know, the animal should have just not eaten the food, right? It's not my action. The animal somehow was posheb atzmo when it ate the harmful food, even though I set the conditions up for the animal being able to do that. See, Tosus here even says, Kivan shebim miskaven mevi olav davar shemaziko ena roi zel hischai bekach. There's like a little pshia denizak here, like the animal itself was negligent in eating something that it shouldn't have eaten. That's why the trespasser is a mere gorim.
Are people mechalik between cases of food that the animal couldn't know it was bad versus the case that it was?
Yeah, so there's an interesting
like
D in here.
Like bad or something at the animal's fault, but if it's
yeah,
bad.
Good. So if you look at the Meiri here, he gives a different reason. He says, "Hanosin sama mavas lifnei behemas chaver v'hi ochel asumesa hoel v'ein darka shetochal ein kavana zu kruya kavana lahazik." So Miri thinks that this is since it's ein darka shetochal, we can't view the trespasser as kavanoso lahazik. So it sounds like it's limited to a case where the animal doesn't usually eat these kinds of things, right? But if I mix like an odorless poison into the animal's food, then maybe I would be chayiv. So the Pesach Hoshim. What? Yeah, since when you need Kavan al-Hazik, that's Chiddush the Meiri.
Some, is that generally?
Yeah, for a grumma. We'll see that later. It's a Chiddush the Meiri that he adds in. Yeah. He thinks that grumma is only Chai B'dinei Shemayim. Well, that's not what he says here. Ein Kavan is a Kruya Kavan al-Hazik, Upatim B'dinei Adam. Well, see, the Meiri thinks that in some grama cases, if you don't have kavana at all, you're not even chayav din shemayim. Here it's different, right? Here he's saying ein dark shtocha ein kavana zu kriya kavana lazik. He's saying, who cares? Adam mo'ot yolam, right? So unless this is his way of saying it's not a maisa nezek, sometimes a maisa nezek requires kavana lahazik in order to rise to that level. Zul, do you hear his question?
Yeah.
He's saying that why should kavana lahazik determine whether or not this is a grama. He's saying it's a mere grama because in kavana lahazik. But if you had kavana lahazik, then you'd be chayv mikra din, right? So it sounds like the Meiri is allowing for some gray area where kavana could push you over the edge to being a real mazik versus just being a mere grama.
Meiri say kavana more often, like in other cases of the Zikin, or just because
in grama cases he's very into kavana.
Uh-huh.
We'll see that. We'll see that later on.
Not only could the animals present, and therefore, like, maybe
right.
more it's like a toast-foot
right.
approach that, like, because that the animals be kavana.
Right.
And you're dealing with two kavanas.
Right. No, he isn't. So in the Pisrei Choshen here, in Parak Gimel Ha'ara Mem, so this is a very interesting discussion about Yoni's case. What happens if... he's quoting a Shach. Afilu Irev Sam Maves B'mach... Oops, sorry. This computer's a little delayed. See this? Because of Oj, Afilu Irev Sam Maves B'machal Haroyla... Putter. That comes from the Shach. So that's a huge chiddush, right? I mean, he's saying, for some reason, the Pisrei Choshen thinks that according to the Meiri, you should be chayiv in that case, because that is Darka Shetochal, right? But whereas according to the Tosos' view, that there's Pshia Denizak, Achor, you might say there's no Pshia Denizak here either. So the Pisrei Choshen wants to distinguish between the Meiri's view and Tosos' view. But I don't think that distinction makes sense.
Is there like really Pshia Denizak, or is it more like just like Denizak is like an independent actor here? Like you can't be considered like
mom, right.
And he's like an independent actor.
That's clearly how he's reading it. He's saying Kivan Shem Miska, he's reading Tosis as Kivan Shem Miskavin Mevi Alav Davar Shem Aziko, then the Nizak is considered to be an actor. I don't think it's, I think I would distinguish and say that that's not what Tosis is getting at. Tosis is really getting at there's Pshia de Nizak, because who cares that the Nizak is just an actor? Why does that matter? If it always eats its normal food and it's perfectly fine, then you add in poison. So you get, how could you blame the animal for doing that?
Okay, first of all, Tosos doesn't say Pshia Denizak. And second of all, didn't we argue earlier in the year that Tosos would probably deny the relevance of Pshia Denizak? He's right.
It's more of a Ramban argument.
Right.
Then why does Tosos say Kivan Shebim Miskavein? Tosos, my idea, because Tosos' formulation is Kivan Shebim Miskavein maybe a Lev Davar Shemaziko. Like the animal intentionally consumed something that's harmful.
Yeah, I don't think it means he intends to hurt himself. I don't think it's a suicide. I think it just means that, like,
it was a volitional action.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't view like animal action
right.
as like, natural versus of action.
Interesting. I wouldn't have read Tosis that way. Yoni, how do you read Tosis? Don't be biased by the parentheses on bottom.
Yeah, I'm more kind of like Isaac. I don't know why you think the animals, we view animals like independent actors. I think it's just like the animals that brought the food at the end of the day.
So it's the animals, did the mice and Isaac?
Yeah.
I just don't see why that's a reason, Lepatro.
Well, the person didn't actually, even though the person is like the normal act of feeding, you stick it in the animal's mouth.
Ah.
You didn't inject the animal with poison.
Right. I hear. I just don't see that as being a reason why it's in a royalist high of
a
cost.
I say with a person instead of an animal, or you have a patient in the hospital or something, or
yeah.
a restaurant, and you send out food that has poison in it.
Right.
Undetectable. Right? What's the. Is that.
I would think that should be grounds for being high of. I see Isaac. Isaac has his lunchbox. Either.
Is he good?
I mean, either. I see it's.
Why?
I poisoned your food. You have a lunchbox, you're about to eat it, you have your food, and I slip some poison in there.
It's grama very simple, so yeah.
But it begs the question whether it's grama, that's what I'm saying. It's not clear that it's grama. Why is it grama? I poisoned the food.
So? You didn't put poison in me.
Yeah, you're the one, the person wanted to eat it.
So you think because that has to do with mysa? You're putting a lot of emphasis on a mysa.
I'm surprised, because if do you think the animal is not chayiv for in Tom's question? Then why, if the animal makes you potter for Brahma, so why should the person make you?
It's such a weird thing for me to say. I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the Maisa. Isn't that the whole concept of Brahma? Is that the emphasis on the Maisa?
So we don't know that yet. We don't really know that. So it's, I think it's an open call. We're just looking at the cases right now.
I don't understand it. Do you think that you'd be higher for a person, the case where a person was the one ingesting the food, than an animal, based on the guard, you'd be potter?
I'm saying that Tosas here adds in the fact, so it's not Tosas adds
in
that
you'd be fired in the case of putting poison on food also for Tosas.
For the animal.
Right.
He just thinks that the case of poison is where it's like literally like a box of poison. It's not like food that the animal would normally eat.
Right.
Oh, so you're reading Tosas like somewhere to make your
right.
Because like when poison
right, exactly.
then the suicidal animal like, decides he wants to eat some poison because we've had enough of this world. And
right. That's Pshia Denisa. Kivan Shib Miskavin, maybe you love Dover Shemaziko.
Like it knows.
Like, or
right.
The animal knows.
The animal has to be intentionally eating something that's harmful in order to potter the... Right. That's I'm reading Pshia Denisa. Right. Pshia Denisa.
I'm not following. I don't get...
You don't hear that.
I don't know.
Right. So I think Tosas is very akin to the Miri. Right, Hoel the Ain Darka Shetofa.
Yeah, you read the Tosas exactly the same.
Well?
Yeah, of course you read the same.
Well, except that I think the emphasis is different. I think for Tosos, the reason is like kind of Pshia Denizak, whereas for the Meiri, it's just that the Mazik is less causally involved because he fed it something that he wouldn't have expected it to have eaten. Right? So one is like a lack of involvement of the Mazik, and one is over involvement of the Nizak. That's why I see the distinction between them. Right, the Pesach Choshen clearly thinks that they're just different ideas. And maybe he's reading the Tosas the way you are. All right. Seder? Good, so everybody has case number two down? Okay, case number three. So this is the Mishnah on Intesim Beis. So your Sholeach has HaBe'ira B'yad Chere Shota V'Katan. So Mishnah says, Pata B'nei Adam Chai B'nei Shemayim. And Rishonim also interpret this as another Grama case. Remember, we saw Machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. What exactly is the case of your punter? Is it a case where you gave him a flame or you just gave him a gachelas? But either way, the point is you gave some sort of fire to a katan. He then goes ahead and causes fire to burn something down. So the idea is that it's Tzavsa Decheresh Kagarmelo. It's the maisa of the katan that causes the fire, not the initial trust of the bardas in handing it over to him. This is also another classic Ramban Azigan case that's pater. Now here too, you guys are just going to say what? This is, the point here is that there's no maisa? Is that the point? The maisa nezek is not perpetrated by the bardas?
Right, doesn't that work really well with those, like with arms and those? It's like there's like a third actor here that's like doing.
So I think a third actor is a little different. I mean, you're saying that...
There's like a more proximate cause of the damage, which is not you.
Okay.
It's like, with respect to the damage that happens, you're clearly a more indirect cause.
Okay. That's a possibility. So
I love I'm stuck to the actors, but I definitely can get definitely readable here.
Right.
The child is certainly some version of an actor.
That's the top of the Chereish Kagarmala.
If you think the animal is an actor, then the cousin definitely is an actor.
Right, I would definitely think Tosos is in Skavin, Maasos, whatever, for the rest of the sentence would apply in this case also.
With respect to the katan.
Yes.
Except Tosos' case is still a Nizak bringing it upon it himself.
Right,
Kimech and Miskavin, maybe Allah Davar Shem Maziko.
This one's Kimech and Miskavin,
Bahazik. He's a katan, you might say. So what is the fact? Why should... So the way I read Tosos is that your... bringing Nezek onto yourself can pater me. But can my giving something to a katan and the katan then imposing on a third party be a reason to pater me? I would say arguably not.
I just like that with respect to grammar, why there'd be different cases. Like with respect to your relationship to them causing the damage.
Well, if you think of Pshir, if you take Itwar's approach, whichever thing is Pshir and Nizak.
No, I got it. It's a privilege, but I'm saying.
Where's the grammar come in?
There's a more proximate
yes, yeah, so I think there is something to say to that. So here maybe this is grama just because there's a more proximate cause, meaning the katan. The question is though, if he's not a bardas, so who cares if there's a more proximate cause, right? I set the background conditions that allow that proximate cause to be mazik.
Right, but
A grand. Wow.
And that is exactly what Grauman Venezican puppet teachers do.
Possibly. Yeah, let's see more cases, and then let's see if we can formulate a general principle. Okay, so everybody got, you got case number three? Oh, case number four. So this is Igmar.
Well, everyone assumes just that case where it says chayav b'dini adam and chayav b'dini shemar mitzvah. They have a case in grammar. There's no like distinction.
Yeah, well, also because the formulation here is tzav sa d'cheresh garma lo.
Okay, but that could just be part of the svar, not necessarily defining it as grammar.
Right. But yeah, this seems like a classic...
I mean, there's no discussion about...
this not being grammar.
Or this case and the previous case, the case of the annual.
Right. So the fourth case is the Gemara in Haman Beis. So this is the Mishnah in the Vinei Vakones. So the Mishnah kind of said that if listim break down your wall, nifritza balailo shepritzua listim, and then your animal goes out and causes damage, the listim are potter. All right, so remember this, if the listim steal the animal, and we have that tosos, that 2 days in tosos as to why the listim are chayiv. But if the listim don't steal the animal, they just break down your wall, and the animal goes out and causes nezek, then they're off the hook. So why is that? So it's also a kind of a grumma. You can see Tosas here, and then Hanbeis explicitly says, "Vadeid lo mechayvi bepritas geder ba'alma de'ein zel a grumma ba'alma." It's just a kind of grum b'nezikin. So what do you make of that case? Why is that grumma? I break down the wall that kept your animal in, and now your animal goes out and causes damage. So one thing you could say is that here the animal left on its own accord, right?
Well, I think
so there's like some other more proximate cause of the nezek.
I mean, I think stronger, there's no reason for them behind. They broke down the wall.
Well, the point is that the animal wouldn't have broken out if not for my breaking down the wall.
Yeah, but they're not high for the animal breaking out. They're not. They're, the question is why they wouldn't be high at all.
Why are?
Why should they be high at all? They didn't take ownership of the animal. So they're not high for Shmira. They're not high for the owners.
Okay, what about if the animal itself gets injured?
Through them breaking it?
No, the animal runs out, gets hit by a car.
Same thing, yeah, they're not responsible for the animal.
But aren't they goreim that nezek by breaking down the wall?
No, I don't see why they should be. I don't see why they're responsible for the animal's care.
Well, the animal was safe, and they did an action that made the animal unsafe. Right? It was protected until they came along and let it loose.
Well, I don't even think it gets to the level of like discussion of
grammar. Yeah. Okay, so some people think that actually it's a bit of machlokas here. One argument is that when they broke down the wall, it's still possible that the animal would never have left, and even on the assumption that it left, there's still a possibility that it wouldn't have been harmed. So it's just the point is that there's the probabilities aren't strong enough to view them as the mazik. But what's interesting here is that some rishonim disagree, and you can see the Pesach Choshen quotes this. V'yesh mechayvin gam ala behema im nevda. That's the shita of the Yad Rama, who holds that breaking down the wall, it's kiven shepartzu hageder b'faneh hava kilu ivdua b'yadayim. So you actually, Yad Rama is a das yachid, who thinks that breaking down a wall in front of an animal is a kind of a nezek b'yadayim. And he quotes the Marshal, who you're passing from the damages that it causes, but that could be that might just kind of you're just a grumma on those damages, but not on the damages the animal incurs. And the Amshar Shlomo passes like the Rama, the Hisbir de Ein Ze Grumma Me'achar de Avid Biadayim, who Parat Hageder, who Shmiras Habehema Tluyaba. Not a very satisfactory answer, right? He's saying because they did an action Biadayim, which destroyed the shmir of the animal, so it's no longer a grumma. Even though the animal itself is the one that left the...
Right, a great shot. That's like our whole exposure to risk.
Meaning what?
That, like, you exposed the person to, like, undue risk for his animal to be damaged.
I mean, you made it more likely, I guess, that the animal would break out.
Yeah, and that's all business again. Exposing that person to like the possibility, like the higher probability of risk. Like it's unlikely he's gonna like stay inside the pen. And
what about the case of removing the karamuksasos? So the object's still falling through the air, and it's gonna break if it hits the ground. You pull away the mattress, and the animal breaks. So there, it's for sure you're exposed to risk.
Yeah, I don't know, but like you could argue like that, like the.
There you didn't do a MISA. It was already exposed to risk,
right,
the fall
like,
or something.
You didn't do the primary exposure to risk.
Yeah, possibly. Because here it's a machlokes. Machlokes between the Rishonim.
And also, Rivers have all that. Like, you're not fired for the damage that the animal commits, because, like, with respect to the rest of the world, like, you very minimally increase their exposure to risk.
Because any one of them is unlikely that. Right. I guess that argument turns on the empirical fact that by breaking down the enclosure, like, you really do expose the animal to much greater risks. Right? And you're the cause of that. Because, like you say, well, a person should have better shmira for their animals and teach them not to break out even if the door is open. I mean, here also, what do you think about this case? This is part of this Poreitz Geder case. Pesach Choshen in Gimel Amid Beis says, based off some Rishonim, HaPoreitz Beis Chaveiro V'nichnesa Behema V'hizika Sham O'Shebo Ganavim Yesh Omim Shenu Alegrama. This is the opposite case. This is not where I break down your wall and your animal leaves and gets injured. Here it's a case where I break down your wall and therefore animals come in and destroy your house. Or robbers come in and destroy your house. So he says, you show me that that's only grama. It's hard to know. I mean, on your point, Isaac, about risk exposure, then it really just depend on like whether you put it over the threshold of reasonable risk. Right, so it really depends on case by case.
I would agree that the runoff might be better.
Disagrees, because there's less exposure. I'm saying there's less risk exposure in this case than in the other case.
No, I'm saying I would think that the Ramah disagrees.
Oh, disagrees with this.
Yeah.
Meaning that he would be a Yeshomer and would cholik.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Again, it's hard to know. Zolt, do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel just more. I mean, I feel like there's more than just our risk case.
There's mice and Ezek?
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot about like mice and Ezek itself.
Breaking down the wall?
Yeah. Whether or not that itself is like part of, like that's what connects to like later damages.
I mean, it says mice and Ezek on the wall, and then we could roll on damages that are happened later to the animal?
Yeah.
So we'll see a theory, that's Tosis theory on Sadiches. Well, I'll mention that later, that if you're Chaya for actual Nezikim, we could roll on kinds of Grammas also.
Really, like, I kind of, like, once you get the edge, like, the start. Kind of,
yeah.
Physicist. Put everything else in. And
right. Sense. Right. Let's look at the fifth case. So, the Gemara in Hayim Beis goes through several cases. Have Pata B'dini Adam, Chai B'dini Shemayim. These are the Arba Dvarim that Rabbi Yeshua quotes. Poreitz Geder Fnei Behemas Chaver, we just spoke about. Kofef Komaso Shel Chaver B'fnei Adleika. Socher Eide Sheker Lohayid and Yodea Eidos Lechaver Veina Meilo. And Rashi here says the reason for the patur of all four is Kasava Gram Benazikin Pater. So in the Kofef Komaso Shel Chaver, the Gemara has two applications of it. So the first is that a fire is coming towards your friend's Rishus, and you bend his Tivua in such a way that the fire catches onto them. Got that? The second view that the Gemara has is that you're Shaviyei Tamun, right? That the Mazik would have been Chayiv for the Nezek, Mitamish, but then you cover some of the field that's Tamun Beish, which is Pater. So you're causing the Nezek to not be able to recover the main Nezikin on the Tamun Beish. So the Ramban here, commenting at least on the Shaviyei Tamun Ptur, says in Kunches Din in the Gemara, he says something pretty interesting. He says two things. Hakoviv kamaso shel chaver b'fnei adleika. Here Isaac read for us.
Hakoviv kamaso shel chaver b'fnei adleika. Yishav b'tam adesh pater. Adah halakar nezeku. Shad nezeku yidah mazik b'alo.
Right, so the first thing is that he's not the mazik. The mazik is the arsonist.
Meaning damage isn't considered loss of value. Like loss of, like, total worth.
Yeah.
It's considered the destruction of the object.
Yeah, that's that last phrase is really interesting, right? So he's saying, why is the Shavi Taman Pater?
So it's not Mazik, and it's not Gordon Hasid, because at the time he did it, the guy wasn't owed anything.
That's a very important point, right? He's saying, you're not the cause of a loss, because there was no... If he was entitled to compensation, and then you did something to mafkia his compensation, that would be nezek. But since at the time that you were shavi shamun, he was not yet entitled to be compensated for the tamun, so we can't consider you gorim lahafsid mamono mamish. Interesting. It's an interesting suggestion of the Ramban. So the grumma is vitiated here. So it's lower down to a level of grumma simply because you didn't cause any loss at the time of the Maisa. You caused a future loss.
Is that an explanation in fact for all these cases?
Well?
Is that not an explanation you can use for all these cases, but it's just the same type of Svara? For the pillow case, for your removed pillows, for the damage caused, for the yin, for the breaking down the wall.
Uh-huh.
And you make the same argument in a lot of places. Damage doesn't happen yet.
Yeah, so we'll see that.
It's like a really wide spanning sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's no actual loss at the time of the Nezek. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I'm saying that's like a huge, that'd be like a ginormous.
Yeah.
Like you'd be clustered for almost everything.
He's still contrasting the Nezekin with Hesed, right? Like, the person that lights the fire, like, is Chaya for Nezekin, even though, like, the loss comes at a time later than when he lights the fire.
Yeah, okay.
And then Isaac's saying, well, then there's what a lower level chiyuv just for hefsid. And then?
And then for hefsid, it has to be that, like, at the time you did the action. Like, then it has to, like, actually be, like, causing the loss at that moment.
So it's like there's, Isaac's saying, maybe there are two dinim here.
Mm-hmm.
There's grom benezikin, and then there's a grom behefsid. And then Ramban's point here is only a consideration in grom behefsid.
Or that grom benezikin is only a consideration for grom behefsid.
That what?
Or maybe like, the concept of grom benezikin putter is really only a consideration for grom behefsid.
Interesting question.
Asia's higher, so like Asia's right. Like the same type of grumma in that sense. So
I don't know if that would work for all the cases though.
What about the latter case? Is that also under discussion of there's no constant mistaken, or it's just by Hesed that will mention the latter and the verbs?
Right, I guess you have to like argue something like that. Like you didn't do anything really with like the
Zika. Look at the Meiri. Meiri gives a different reason for why Shavi Taman is Pater under grumma. And he says, here's the key line. You want to go for a zolt? Hare. Yeah. So here again, notice the Meir is appealing to his idea of in kavanasa lahazik. Right? And he's saying, since the Shavi Taman person can claim that he was burying the Nizak stuff in order to prevent the fire from catching, right? He was like covering it with stuff. So Nimsa She'in Kavan Lahazik, and therefore she Patam Medina Adam. Right? So it sounds like the Meiri thinks, at least in some cases that are not clearly Adam Hamazik cases, maybe because there's some time delay or something. So we can factor in Ein Kavanoso Lahazik to pater you under grama. See that? And the reason why we could say this is Ein Kavanoso Lahazik is because he can always claim that he was a Tova Niskaven, Shlo Yavayar Ha'esh Kol Kach.
But the Miri's not explaining why this is Grama Bezikin. He's just explaining why it's considered Ein Niskaven, the Grama Bezikin. No?
He doesn't, but this is his reason that he gives, meaning he...
Is this his distinction between grum and grumi?
Possibly. He doesn't say that explicitly.
Levels of causation and questioning whether it's kavan hazi or not.
Right, he doesn't say that explicitly. Right? But we saw the same... Sounds like that from these positions, yeah.
Okay, so then he's not getting an answer like what we mean by grum and zikin.
He's saying why we don't have a separate mechayev.
He's explaining why.
Kavana?
Yeah.
Except that I think that it could be that he thinks that if you have kavana lahazik, that just bumps you back into a maisa nezek, and it's no longer grama.
Okay, but a maisa nezek without a kavana is still chayev. If it's not a grama mezikin case.
Right.
So
but,
like he's appealing to someone like
what would otherwise be a non maisa nezek can become a maisa nezek with kavana.
But isn't the whole question here like why is it not a maisa nezek? Like, the Ramban explained why it's not a maisa nezek, because like the loss happens at a time later than like,
so we don't have, first we're going through the cases, we don't have a theory yet for what makes grama different from regular adama mazik.
Right
now we're just surveying the, and you'll see even in the Rishonim who give theories, the theories are not sufficiently precise to explain exactly why grama's pater. When we go through the case, let's finish going through the cases, and I'll
always person. I don't know if the case is potentially it's never like
so it's a shiloh whether you could have garmi bibehema. That's going to be part of our garmi discussion. So the next case here, and also on Nenvav, part of those four cases, hasocher ide sheker. So this case actually works out nicely with one of the themes that we've seen. So the Gemara says, if I hire ide sheker to testify for Isaac against Yoni, then I'm pater, because that's grum ben azikin. Now here, this works out nicely with that, with the point that there's a closer proximate cause. Right? Who's the gorim of the nezek? It's the actual edim shehidu sheker. Right? I, as the person who hired them, I'm a mere remote cause to the nezek that they cause. And then with the last case in that Gemara on Nenvav, is the case of Yodea Eidos Ve'enomeid Lo. There it's complicated, but just one obvious thing you can say is that it's not clear at all that your Eidos would have been effective in causing the loss, and it's not clear that your Eidos was necessary to cause the loss. Somebody showed him say explicitly that your Eidos could have been knocked out in Drisha Chakira, and others say that maybe a different aid would have showed up who would have been Mechai the Mammon anyway, in which case you're not the cause of the loss. You only had a question.
Yeah, in the case of the Socher Yeshaker, that applies for if you were Socher or any other Nazik, I hire someone to
cause the usually loss. We say Ein Shlichus Dvar Avera.
So why should this be any different? Why is this case a difference?
Alright, so this should be a classic case. I tell you to shoot the guy.
Right, shouldn't this be any case of Shlichus for an arson or damage to a Rizik in general? I don't
want to sully my hands, so I hire someone else to... Right. That's a good point. You're saying, on this theory, anytime I hire somebody else to do a maisa nezek, it'll be a kind of a grama. There's nothing special here about socher yedei sheker. That's your point.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think you might say that. It's a big chiddush though, because then you'll say that there's a chibud shemayim for every case of nezek al yidei shliach. Right?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense though. I don't think it's unreasonable if I say go hurt Plony.
In which case, like the chiddush of the Katan case is the fact that he's attributed to the same level as the shliach.
On the Katan case, you might say...
Well, the Katan case is actually in this case.
It's not the Shliach. So even without Shlichus, you're considered to be a Goreim. Right? Even though there's no real Shlichus.
Well, it's a formal Shlichus.
Right. Without formal Shlichus, you're still considered to be a Goreim, to be Chai B'din Ishmaim. Okay, Isaac, have any comments on that?
Nope.
Okay. So let's look at this...
You're not just telling him.
Yeah, so the question, I don't know if the schirus, though, is that necessary, you're saying the fact that you're paying them. But that would be any time you pay somebody to do...
Yeah, but I'm saying if you just told them, that might be how shlichus are very responsible for what you say.
I hear the grounds from a colleague. So another classic grama case is the Kurin the Gemara and Daf Samech Amud Aleph. So Zoreh V'ruach Misayaso. This is a huge Harchokos Nezikin issue. As you can see, it's paskind in... Hilchos Niskei Shechenim and Simen Kufna and Hay. So classic case is somebody has a goren besoch shelo, or a beis akise besoch shelo, and that causes some sort of dust or dirt to blow into your neighbor's yard. So the din is you have to be marchik kidei shelo yaziko. Even if you have to be marchik, even if the ruach is the thing that's carrying the dirt from your yard into your neighbor's yard. But if b'dieved, the stuff caused damage and you weren't marchik, you're pater milashalim, the Shulchan Aruch says, sheharei haruach hu shesio. So, because in the end of the day, the ruach is the one that caused the nezek, not you. Huh? So the idea is that suppose you're like grinding wood chips in your backyard, and then some of them blow into your neighbor's yard and cause nezek. So, mikra adim yedachiv laharchik, b'dieved, your pater. And the Sma here says this is based off the principle of Grum and Azikin Pater. That's another classic Grumma case. Yeah. The next clear case comes from the Sugyan Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph. This one, I think, is a little problematic. So the case is you frighten your friend. So you blow a shofar, let's say, in his ear, which causes him to go deaf. So you're pater. And the reason seems to be, based off the way the Gemara quotes it in Kiddushin and the way the Rishonim explain it, is that the Nizak has frightened himself. Right? So it's like the shofar sound is not what caused him to go deaf. It's like his reaction to it in some way is what caused him to go deaf. That's a little problematic, I think. I think Yesh L'chalik here, maybe the Gemara only means it's in a case where it's like the fear of the sound is what causes the nezek, rather than the actual sound waves.
It like death, or like it means like chayrish, like in the mentally insane or incapacitated sense.
I mean, he just like went crazy.
Something along those lines.
Maybe, you want to say showtime.
Isn't right. Like they're relatively interchangeable.
Right. It's an interesting question. Okay, the Rambam here says, in Chov L'mazik, Hamavis is chavir af bi shechola min apachad. You're saying it means like he just went like insane or something from the like PTSD or something. It's like he brought it upon himself. It's not caused by the trauma.
Halacha holds that you can control your emotions.
Right. Kantian. It would be Kiddush. That would mean like, you know, somebody suffers emotional trauma or something. So we're saying, no, it's since you're a bardas, you're mavis as satzmacha. Like the person who caused the trauma is not the cause of the nezek.
Right.
It's interesting. I like that way of interpreting chirsho. So it's not like deafness. It's like it causes some sort of like mental instability. The Pesach Choshen here has an interesting extension of this idea. He says, "Hu adin im machmas hapachad nirta la'achorav v'nafalo nitkal v'kosel v'huzak." He says the same idea. If like, let's say I'm chasing you, and because you're running away from me, you trip and get hurt. So that's all bichlal grama. Because it's not my chasing that causes the nezek. It's like your reaction to being chased that causes you to suffer the harm. This is a bit of a tricky case, right? Because here I think the causal relationship between the mazik and the nezek is more direct. Right? It's like, I did something that caused you to either go deaf or become disturbed. But the point is that the disturbance was like your own self-imposed harm. can't be attributed to my action. You see, so yeah, I guess you could say there's a closer proximate cause that's the Nizak himself, but it's clear that the conditions that cause that more proximate cause is the Mazik's actions. I think this is a bit of a difficult case. Notice the Gemara says in the Gemara distinguishes if you just taka ba'azno v'chirsho pater, but if achazo v'tako ba'azno v'chirsho chayiv. So if I hold on to you and I cause you to go crazy from like blowing in your ear or something, then I'm chayiv. So why is that? Why should holding on to you make a difference? But it's not clear that achazo means that I'm mazik you through the achiza.
If the basis of the damage is based on the frightening,
it shouldn't make it into the holding. Yeah. As the Pesach Choshen Blayb Shver here, he thinks that's difficult, right? He says, Ksas Tzarachian, Kim Chamru B'Gemara, Tam Shehu Bardas, Ve'yu Ivis HaNafshe, V'chim Ebnei She'achaz B'Gufo V'Bigdo Batal Tam Zeh. Right, that's the problem, right?
I mean, otherwise, nothing more confusing. It sounds like the problem is that somehow sound is not attributed enough to you, like you're too far removed from the action.
Right.
Didn't have another case
like hold on to the person, it's like you were my subject, you're connected
right.
to it.
I think one thing you can say here is that, I think this is similar to what the Meiri is getting at, is that in certain cases, what would otherwise be a grumma can be turned into a Adam Hamazik case. In virtue of your doing something that ups your connection to the Nizak. So yes, it's more direct if you hold on to the guy while you grumma this Nezek onto him. Similar to what we saw in the Ochel Chisaron Chesrona Shel Chavero in the Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Meaning maybe it is a grumma Nezikin Pater by living in his courtyard. But the fact that you're Ochel Chesrona Shel Chavero is a reason to up your liability and make you responsible. And you might say something over here. Yes, it's iu ivis anafshe and it's grumben azikin pater. But if you have like more of a egregious interaction with him, then we'll hold you liable even for the grumma. I think that's one nice way of being miyashev this distinction in the Gemara. That if achazo, then you're chayev for grumma. What do you think, Isaac?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I think we have a lot of cases like this. Do you have a case like Nezek Shen Amigur, maybe?
Yeah, we'll talk about I'll talk about that soon. Some cases where if there's like real Nezek that accompanies Grumma, you could be chayiv for the Grumma. That's the Ketzos based off Tosfos on Sariches. But this is a little different because this is not real Nezek. This is just like a more of a like achazo. I don't know, is achazo real Nezek? Or not?
Maybe the assumption is like there's like some actual real Nezek.
Possibly, yeah. Pesach Choshen thinks not. I mean, he says v'achiza kol dehu chayev. It's not clear from the Gemara that you require like an incision or something or sheves. Okay, so let me just get out a few more cases, then we'll get to the analysis. So the other classic case of Grumbin Zigan Potter is on Chav Gimel and Beis in Bava Kama. So this is the case where I incite Isaac's dog to bite Yoni. Shisabos akelev, shisabos anachash pater. So, there's a bit of a discussion here. Rashi says that the inciter here is pater because he's grum ben azikin. Right? So I'm not liable for inciting Isaac's dog to bite Yoni because I'm just a remote cause. Now the Nunke Yosef here comments that the reason why it's grumma is because Shema lo yazikenu. There's always the chance that my incitement won't work. Right? So it's not a probability of one that I incite the dog that Yoni gets bitten. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is a salacha in Simen Shin Sadihe. M'shase kalbo shel chaver b'chavero. Pater medinei adam chay b'dinei shemayim. U'bal hakelev chayev chatzi nezek. Shekivan shehu yodea she'em shisas kalbo lahazek noshech lohe lo lanicho. Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that the owner is actually liable since he breached his shmira responsibility for allowing somebody else to incite his dog against a third party. So if that's the din, then you don't really need the Demukiyose's point, because you could say there's a more proximate, the more proximate cause is the Baal HaMamon. He's considered more direct than a third party instigator.
Isn't Demukiyose's point necessary to explain why the inciter doesn't trump the owner?
Because if it did follow with a probability of one, yeah, like then maybe he should.
Why did someone else's dog mouth opened it and closed it on your arm and bit you, like, hide behind the dog's owner?
Well, I mean, there you might say you're chayev just because you actually did the maisa, right? You're like a gazlan, and you're two things. You could say, hey, it's like a mamid, or you could say that you're just a gazlan who's responsible. Here you're saying antecedently, the Shulchan Aruch is saying antecedently, a bialim should not have left his dog unwatched such that a third party could incite it.
Do you think even if I, like, improve the probability to one,
right,
the Shulchan Aruch would still say fucker?
Arguably. Although you might say that's inconsistent with the Mamed Gemara. That Mamed Behemas Chaver Al Kamas Chaver, or the Mamed is Chayev because he's supervising the Nezek. This is a pretty surprising Grumma case, no? What do you think? That the instigator is not chayev for causing the dog to bite a third party?
You think that we should be chayev or that we shouldn't be chayev?
I would think that I'm more inclined to think that he should be chayev. I guess Anubukayose's point is well taken. He's saying, well, you can instigate the dog all you want, but it's not clear the dog will actually cause any harm. Right? I mean, the dog has to be in the mood to be mazik in order for it to react to your instigation that way.
Even if you was absolutely probable, you know,
responsibility is on the bialim.
Not the blessing of the bialim, responsibility. It's
yeah.
It's
fair.
I mean, it seems to be going back to the general assumption that, like, animals are, like, unpredictable. And so, like, when you're... So, like, it seems to be pretty similar to the case of, like, feeding and poison. Putting poison in front of
yeah.
him doesn't guarantee it's going to eat it.
Right. So the probabilities are
the animal might eat it, but it's decision to eat it. The dog might bite someone, but it's its decision to bite someone. So, like, you're, like, just as disconnected.
They're, like, rational beings on their own. They have their own decision-making capacities.
Right.
Yeah, so the last two cases that I want to get through very quickly. So one is the Gemara of Basra Chabez and Beis that I mentioned in the opening discussion of Grumman Zik and Aser. That's the case of the Shobach and the Sulam. That again, if I put my ladder next to your Shobach and an animal comes, climbs up the ladder and eats your Yonim, I'm Pater because it's Grumman Zik. So again, there you could also say the probabilities that you don't know 100% that an animal will climb up the ladder later. The final case is Zorek Matbea Chaver Liyam. The Gemara doesn't call this Grama, but Rashi here does. So we've seen this case in Sadiches. So I, like, knock your arm, so that causes your coin to fall into the sea, but in a way where you can still see the coin lying there. So it's not avod. So I'm just causing you to shell out money to hire divers to retrieve it. Right? That's the Zorek Mapeach Haveli Amagadol Pater. My taima. Amar Hamanach Kamech. Iboy Shakle. Right? It's right there. Go and retrieve it. Bahanimili Bitslulin de Kachazule. Valakur and Loka Chazule Lo. So the Gemara says this is only in a case where you can still see the coins there, because then it's not avod. So you can see Rashi here says, and even if you want to say he has to spend money on the Amora, Lemeshat Lemishkale, even though he has to spend money on the divers to retrieve them, Gramahu, Shegorim Lahafsido Oso Schar, Regram Benazikin Pater. So Rashi explicitly says this is a case of Gram Benazikin Pater. So what do you make of this case? Because here, I cause him to lose his objects such that the only way he can retrieve them is if he spends money. So should that fall under Grum Benazik and Pater? Is there a closer proximate cause of the...
Well, you actually cause damage. You cause the need to spend expenses.
Yeah, so here it's a little different, right? Here it sounds like there's no nezek.
This is problematic, but I don't know, because clearly the time where you cause the loss is the
hefset.
The time where the coin drops out of sand.
Right.
But it's not really hefset, that's a 0.4.
So. No, it is hefset. I mean, Rashi's calling it hefset, at least.
Well, he's saying lafsido oso schar, meaning the money he's going to have to pay the divers.
Right.
So does he cause that, like...
Cause that the moment he makes him drop the coin.
Just like the same simultaneous.
Well, that's when he has to go hire the deckers.
You know, I thought Yoni was going to say that happens later.
How would that happen later?
It's like when you want to retrieve them, you have to...
I don't think it's a real... I don't think it's hefset. Like, the guy still has the coin. It's still his possession. The coin is his.
It's there. Just it's a little harder for you to reach.
He wants to access it. You know, it's like you put it behind, like, a... He has, like, a safe, and you forgot the code. You put it in the safe.
I mean, that's clearly not Rosh, assuming. Rosh said, like, if you want to say that, like, oh, you caused him the loss, like, oh, that's just grumma. Didn't say, like, oh, you didn't cause him the loss at all. It's still in his Rosh, like, Rosh Hashanah Fanecha. Saying like, yeah,
cause
loss, but it's causing.
Yeah. So these are the cases. These are the classic case of Grum and Ezekiel Putter that appear in the Gemara. So these are the paradigms that everyone has to, or at least most of these are the paradigms that everyone has to work with. And it's important for analogy. If you want to talk about Grumma cases, you have to analogize them to all these cases that we've seen. So now I want to talk about, so what is the chiluk between Grumma and Garmi, such that Grumma is Putter and Garmi is Chayev. So there are three mahalchim in the Rishonim. Ramban has a very vague formulation in Bava Basra, Chaf Beis, and Mabez. It's consistent with the next two formulations that we'll see. So the Ramban just says that Dina de Garmi is Hu Agorem Ba'atzmo Shehu Atzmo Mazik. Okay? So in the Garmi case is Yechayiv because you cause it yourself such that you yourself are the Mazik. And we'll talk about the Garmi cases really on the end of the week. But he gives an example of Mocher Shtar Chov. So if I cancel a debt that I owe you, that I am the Gorem Ba'atzmi. Aval Grama bin Azikin, Hu HaGorem La'acher Lasos Hezik She'enu Ela Mazmin. In all the Grama cases, the Ramban thinks, you're causing somebody else to do Nezek. And you're just the mazmin. You just set the conditions for the nezek to come about. That's the Ramban's general theory. Okay? Sounds good? Yeah?
I mean, it's not really much like a theory itself, is it?
It's a very general distinction. Right? Do you mean that because he's not fleshing out what does it mean to do nezek?
Right, I mean, it just describes that you are the cause versus you are not the cause. That seems to be like a description. I don't know.
Who's Acher? Also, Acher means a different person, like any other.
And Nizak Atzmo, even, right?
Yeah, it doesn't seem much different than saying the difference between Garmi and Grumma is that Garmi is high and Grumma is Putter.
Well, he's saying that one of them is that you do the Nezek, and the other case is you cause the condition such that somebody else can do the Nezek.
No, it sounds like the main distinction is whether you were the main actor or someone else was the main actor.
Right, are you Osa Hasan? Are you the Mazik? Right?
It's not unclear how strong we think you can define an actor.
Right.
Does the wind, the Zorah Ruach, does that count as an actor?
Right, he leaves that unanalyzed. Right? I want to point out, I think it's very clear that when we talk about Grumma bin Ezekiel Putter, or Grumma bin Ezekiel, It's uncontroversial that you can be a cause of Nezek and not be responsible for it, right? I mean, we all do things that are remote causes of Nezek that comes about much later, but if you're not sufficiently proximate, then you shouldn't be responsible for the Nezek that comes about, right? So you might say, there are certainly actions that we do that had we not have done them, the Nezek would not have happened. But that's not sufficient reason to hold you liable for all nezek.
Like buying someone a gift.
Well?
Like buying someone and someone something that's getting destroyed.
Yes. Or that they use to hurt somebody else. So of course, Grumma bin Ezekiel has got to be putter. If Grumma bin Ezekiel means that you're just a remote cause of the Nezek that ultimately happened. It's crazy to think that you should be liable anytime you're a remote cause, right? So that principle of Grum ben Azikin Pater is obvious. The Chiddush, though, is when you talk about Grum ben Azikin, where you seem to be a very remote, a very proximate cause, and yet we're treating you as a remote cause, right? So the question really is, how do you distinguish the cases of proximate causation from non-proximate causation? And that's where this distinction between Grumma and Garmi is going to lie.
Is there always an approximate cause in the Ramban formulation? Or is it possible that, there's two,
equal.
Two equally remote causes?
So notice the Ramban thinks, Hu agorim la'acher lasos hezek. It sounds like the Ramban thinks that they're all going to be explained by somebody else or something else being the proximate cause.
The throwing down the pillar.
Right, I think I'd say maybe that's the Zorik.
But neither person is high.
So the Zorik's not high, maybe for a different reason.
Why not? When he threw it, it was still protected.
Right, it was mafsek lagire.
You wouldn't just say that gravity is like the...
Right, I don't think so. No, I think you'd say like in the pillow case, the thrower is the mazik in that case. He's put there for some external reason. Okay. Right, like in the deshadje, mafsek lagire. I think that's what the Ramban would say. It's an interesting question whether Ramban's theory holds up all the way through. Right? But does everybody, Isaac, you see the distinction that he's drawing?
Yeah.
Okay. Tosfos in Baal Basra Chobez and Beis tries to offer a distinction between all the Grumma and the Garmi cases. And he says, Yesh li tein tam, maishna kohani medina de Garmi. And we'll talk about the Garmi cases versus the Grumma cases that are brought there. And he says like this. B'chilek Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Lashon Echad, T'dina D'garmi Chayiv, Haynu She'oseh Hu Atzmo Hezek L'mamon Chaveiro. Very much like the Ramban's formulation. Right? So on the first formulation, if you are Oseh Hezek L'mamon Chaveiro, you're Chayiv. V'od Chilek, now it's not clear if both of these conditions need to obtain, or that each is meant to be sufficient. T'dina D'garmi D'chayiv, Haynu Mishas Maisa Sheba Hezek. So the Dina de Garmi is when the damage is simultaneous with the Maisa, whereas Grumma always has a time lag between the Maisa Nezek and the resultant Nezek. See that? So those are two distinctions, unless they're meant to go together. Dina de Garmi is who Osa as Atzmo has a klamon chavero, and B, the simultaneity condition. Dina de garmi de chayiv, haina mishas maisa shebaha hezek. The Rush in Baal Basra Perek Beis Siman Yud Zayin has the same analysis, has the same setup as Tosos, but he offers a slightly different distinction. He says, v'yesh l'chalik, d'chol hecha d'hu ba'atzma osa hezek l'mamon chavero, u'bari hezeka, Mikvidina de Garmi Bachayev. So two conditions have to obtain in order for something to rise to the level of Garmi. Hu Atma Osa Maisa Osa Hezek. And secondly, the Asibari Hezeka, which let's say the damage has to result from the Maisa with a probability of one, or at least a very high probability. And then he quotes Tosus's view. That's Tosas' Shita. Okay? So we have three factors on the table.
Which would all be the need for the probability?
Well?
Which would all be the need for the probability?
Seemingly, right? It seems to replace the probability criterion.
So I mean for probability, it doesn't happen right away.
Right. Correct. So it seems like we have three factors on the table. A, are you Osa the Maisa Nezek or somebody else doing it? B, does the Nezek result simultaneously to the Shas Nezek? And C, how certain is the result given the Maisa Nezek? Which is similar to what you were saying with the risk exposure point, Isaac. Right? That's essentially what Tosfos is getting at. Right? It's pretty they don't flesh it out, right? I mean, what exactly is Bari Hezeka? What does it mean for it to certainly? What constitutes simultaneity? But those are the three factors that Tosos raises. Now notice that Tosos and the Ramban clearly think that there's a fundamental distinction between Grama and Garmi. Right? One's proximate cause, one's non-proximate, and the question is just to figure out exactly what distinguishes proximate from non-proximate. So you have Maisa Nezek, Shasa Nezek, and Bari Hazeka. The other Rishonim disagree. I think there's something very plausible about this view. This is the, let's call this the second camp in what distinguishes Grama from Garmi. Tosos quotes the Ritva, is Tosin Babasar again, that really there's no distinction between Grama and Garmi in principle. They're both equally as potter. But Dina de Garmi is Chayev Mitam Knas. Ulekach kol hezek hamatzoi v'rogi lovo kansu chachamim. V'tam de kansu shlo yehi kol achad v'echad holi chumazik l'chavero be'en. Bayin. See, so really, Garmi should be potter legamri. But the distinction between the Garmi cases and the Grama cases is just that they're more common. They're more frequent. So Chazal went ahead and imposed a knas on those cases as a deterrent. But in principle and in theory, there's no distinction between Grama and Garmi. And you can see this also has a nice formulation in the Mordechai. And Simon Kufya test. Harivah Kasav, Masha Mechalik Rabbeinu Yitzhak, Ben Dina de Garmi, Le Grama, Ben Ezekin, Nira, Shekulam Shavin. Ela, the Mils of the Shechicha, Kansu Berabanan. The Mils of the Shechicha, lo. So what do you think of this? I think there's something very plausible about this, because, it's very plausible on the cases in that it's hard to draw a principal distinction between Grama and Garmi. It's also plausible in that it makes sense that a milsa de shchicha kansu
berabanan. It makes halacha nowadays very difficult.
Well?
It makes halacha nowadays very difficult.
Why?
Because the whole distinction between Garmi and Grama is based on how common such an occurrence is. So then every principal case we have in the Gemara is not relevant now. We don't have the same probabilities. We don't have the same common occurrence.
Right, but then you just change it up, right?
Yeah, some things that every dying would have to adjudicate is this thing is common or not so common.
That's what Aruch HaShulchan seems to say, though.
Which is pretty crazy, then, because that's like...
It's too subjective?
It's just like all these cases don't matter.
Right.
There's no significance to them.
Well, look at Aruch HaShulchan. I mean, tell me if you think this is what he's saying.
And it's significant. Maybe it's like significant in like establishing what's considered common or not.
All right. I mean, you still have to figure out, I guess...
Human behavior is changing.
Totally changes.
In terms of societal norms.
Yeah, for sure, but it's just like the fact that like there's all these cases, like maybe like there's some awareness of like how common it was back then. So there would be some awareness of how common the damage that happens nowadays needs to be.
It's got to be a historian also. Yeah. Got to know the frequency of like, you know, people pulling pillows out from thrown kalim.
Yeah, so right. I assume that there's any academics or
no. It's a riot, la revel, minatora. Yeah. So look at the Aruch HaShulchan seems to say, it's a l'chein. B'chol grama gamkein l'fi ro'os enei bezden nasa shchiach v'ragil chayv l'shalim mishim knas. Sounds like Aruch HaShulchan here is saying that if something becomes more ragil, then you should start imposing knasos for it. Right?
But he doesn't follow through and say if something becomes less common, you should stop pulling to a
while. Right, he doesn't say that. So I think this makes sense as a theory. It seems a little strange, though, to think that minat Torah, you'd be putter on all these Garmi cases if they weren't common. See what I'm saying? I mean, it makes sense to me that if there's something that Meikar Adini should be putter, just becomes common, then we should hold you chayiv. It seems a little less intuitive that if there's something that you're a Garmi on, meaning it seems to be like it's Bari Hezeka and your Oses Maisa Nezek, that just because it's Milsa de l'Shchiach, that's a reason not to hold you liable for it. Do you see that?
We have a very strict definition of what Mizekin is.
Well, yes, it means that there's a very, it means that there's a very, very narrow definition as to what real Adama Mazek is. Right? Because they're saying that even Garmi in principle, you shouldn't be chayiv for. You're only chayiv mitam knas and milsa shchicha. Right? Now, the interesting question here is like, is this, how drabana and how d'oraisa is this? Like, is the idea here that nezek has a very wide definition, and that if something becomes a milsa d'shchiach, then it becomes like real nezek, and so you're chay like betoras adma mazik? Or is the idea, no, that this is just totally like an economic theory of deterrence to make sure that people don't do these harmful actions? So I think that's a bit of an open question here in exactly what the milsa d'shchiach criterion is in Garmi.
I guess that means the more the deterrent theory you take for torts in general, the more this makes a lot of sense.
The more it merges with Adam
Mazik.
Yeah,
this makes a lot. This is very easy to...
Yeah. So we'll talk about this more in the end of the week, actually, about how different Garmi is from Adam Mazik. Can I go for 5 more minutes?
What's 5 more minutes? In real time?
7 more minutes. You want to go for 7 more minutes?
Sure.
Because unless you're going to be... you're going to run out of time in your bechinas?
No, it's not a little later.
Now you're down to like 6:40.
Okay. So the third shita in Dina de Garmi, so we had Tosas shita that there's a fundamental difference, Tosas and the Ramban and the Rush. Second shita is this idea of the Ritzbah, that it's just a knas from Milsa d'Shchiach. The third shita is the shita of the Rambam and the Rif, and actually the Mechaber, that like this idea of the Ritzbah, there's no chiluk between Grama and Garmi. We know there's machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim whether Garmi is chayiv and pater. Whenever the Gemara says Grom ben Azikin pater, that's only according to the Chachamim. But Rabbi Meir, who holds Garmi is chayiv, disagrees with every case of Grom ben Azikin pater and is machayiv before it. Do you see that?
So this is all the appeal of the second explanation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's a very appealing theory, because if you read those Grom ben Azikin cases and say, wait, that's crazy that you should be pater, that's exactly what Rameir is saying. Rameir is saying Garmi's got to be chayiv, right? It's crazy to think that you're off the hook for pulling the cushions out of that kli that's falling and all the similar cases. So you can see the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Shin Pei Vav, Paskins like the Rambam and the Rif, that seems to hold that all of these Grom ben Azikin cases are chayiv because we Paskin like Rameir that die in Dina de Garmi. So you can see here, it's a Siman Shin Pei Vav, it's all the Grama. Kaimelon Kerevi Meir, so the Zurich Matbeh Chaver Liam case is Chayiv. Chena Surif Shtar Chavero, so that's actually not problematic. And then he says, V'chein Zurich Kli Mishalom Rosh Hagag. And you pull out the kar muchsasos. Chayiv hamisalik. V'chein kol kayotze b'ze. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying, and I think the Sma says, I didn't put on the Mar Makom, but I'll add it, that kol kayotze b'ze means all those Grama ben Azikin cases become chayiv under Meir Shita of Garmi. And you can see the Ramah disagrees, the Ramah follows Tosos, v'yesh omrim, t'ze mikri Grama ben Azikin upater. So it turns out that it's really a machaber, machalkas machaber and the Ramah, whether there is such a category of Gram bin Azikin Pater once you hold a mayor who's dying in Dina de Garmi.
There's got to be something. Even the Shulchan Aruch has to agree, there's something when you become such a far out cause, you no longer find that.
Right, but I think the point is that you wouldn't call that Gram bin Azikin Pater.
You'd say you're not chav at all.
Right. It's like there is, it's just like, you know, you're. But you're right. What exactly does that mean then?
He's also, do some legwork to find.
Right. What's the line between Garmi and non Garmi? Right. Between Pater and Chiyav cases. So you're right. It doesn't solve that problem, but at least it solves the problem like what are these cases in the Gemara that seem to be, that they seem like they should be obvious Chiyav cases, and he'll say, oh yeah, they are Chiyav. All right. Isaac, you have a comment or?
No.
Okay. So. Maybe I'll wrap this up at the end of the week, but let me just... This next section here is about even if Grom ben Azikin is pater, what lesser remedies are there? So, for example, we'll see that you could get an injunction against somebody for Garmi. we'll see that you could put somebody on notice that and say, like, if you continue doing this grumma, the bezin will hold you liable for all nezek that comes from it. And then we'll talk about exactly what constitutes a chiyuv b'dei shamayim and whether it's a pasul eidos, whether a tvisa works, etc. So we'll start off with those questions just to characterize what does the chiyuv b'dei shamayim entail and what else comes along with liabilities of grumma b'nezikin. And then we'll also talk about garmi, whether garmi is the same as a don mazek or not. Sound good? Yep. All right, shkach.